Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of June 28th, 2018. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm glad to hear you're doing well. I think that our country may not be doing so well, but that's what we're here to talk about, right? So we're recording this, DR, on a Wednesday evening in which encompasses a day in which Justice Kennedy of the Supreme Court has decided to retire, within a week in which the Supreme Court of the United States issued an abomination of a ruling on denying entry to people from certain countries, but primarily because they profess the religion of Islam, from a week in which we heard reports of planning for baby concentration camps on U.S. Army bases. It is a week of pretty rough bumps, would you say?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think that we can kind of catalog some of the stuff. But it's almost too much to try and really get your arms around. Earlier this week, the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 margin, decided that Muslims could be denied entry, or people from countries that are primarily Muslim, and then, of course, North Korea and Venezuela, could be denied entry to our country. Did you see that, DR? I mean, was that...
Yes, one of the most disgraceful rulings ever to come down from the U.S. Supreme Court, called Trump versus Hawaii, I think is the official name of the ruling. And basically the Supreme Court basically used tortured reasoning to basically allow for the restriction of travel to the United States from people from seven Muslim majority nations. Certainly, you know, goes right down there with Dred Scott and Lochner and Korematsu and all manner and manifestation of really loony decisions out of the high court.
Yeah, you were mentioning before how, I mean, this is an explicit example where people who are refugees for climate reasons, as will become increasingly likely, we just denied entry because that's the policy of the U.S. But there were other things. I mean, there's just this long catalog of things. The whole insane cruelty on our border of separating families has been discussed endlessly. I mean, the small, tiny bit of good news is that there was a judge out in the West Coast that ordered Trump to reverse that and reunite the families within a month or so. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there'll be an appeal of that ruling, considering the Supreme Court. Don't be surprised if that judge's ruling is overturned.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think that that's entirely possible. But I think one of the things, just in terms of hope, I think a case can be made that in this instance, with the cruelty on the border, it was Donald Trump that blinked. Right. Mm-hmm. He is the one that made his ridiculous executive order to reverse his executive order, that reverse his other executive order that he couldn't do any of, or whatever garbled reasoning he had, right? Mm-hmm. He was the one that backed down, and he was the one that was weak, and he was the one that's lost, and he is the one that, and I can only hope that takes some of the aura of invincibility away from him, that somehow his Teflon tweets are always carry the day. I mean, this is a case where the guy lost, and he doesn't want to admit it, but he lost, and we as opponents should repeatedly point out that the guy was weak and he lost. But there you go. Other issues, but actually, I suppose one of the big bombshell issues of the week is the retirement of Anthony Kennedy, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, right, who is always slated as the middle swing vote on the court. And I guess from our perspective, we have to discuss what are the implications for the climate of having him gone. And presumably, if the Trumpian dream comes true, Neil Gorsuch's evil twin, right? You know, a second Gorsuch type on the court to take Kennedy's seat. Did you, I mean, without scaring us all or depressing us too much, what are the implications of that?
There's severe implications. Obviously, Kennedy in 1988 was selected to fill the seat that was vacated by, I believe, the retirement of Justice Lewis Powell. Of course, the first judge who was nominated to fill that vacant seat was Robert Bork, who was rejected by the Senate.
Oh, really? Really?
And now it appears that Trump will replace Kennedy with somebody who's going to make Robert Bork look like Thurgood Marshall, basically, in terms of judicial philosophy. Yeah. There are two big implications. Number one, what I predict to be the absolute inevitable destruction of the Our Children's Trust lawsuit, the lawsuit out in Oregon by the teenagers who are trying to sue the United States government to try to recognize their right to a stable climate. It is impossible to imagine, the Kennedy's replacement, as well as the other right-wing justices in the Supreme Court, recognizing the merits of that lawsuit. And also another threat, which is the threat to potentially the overturning of Massachusetts versus EPA, which is the 2007 ruling that held that the EPA had the authority to regulate greenhouse gases. Obviously, it would be Scott Pruitt's dream to have the Supreme Court overturn that decision and declare once and for all that the EPA has no authority to regulate greenhouse gases. And you can easily imagine some right-wing attorneys general filing the sort of case that would allow a new Trumpian Supreme Court to basically overturn that ruling once and for all.
Yeah, I mean, the process would be that they get these five jokers on the Supreme Court, and then, and, you know, with a wink and a nod, the justices invite certain kinds of cases by accepting them, and Exxon would then find some case that would turn on a piece of an interpretation these guys would accept to dismantle and overturn EPA and push that through all the appeals court and finally work its way up to the Supreme Court and let these five guys overturn Mass versus EPA, right? It would probably take a couple of years, but that would be their plan. Yes, I mean, I think it really is. There is a real threat to the ability of the government to regulate carbon, especially given that, again, these people will be on the court for 30 years. So a subsequent sane administration coming after this dumpster fire we have now would then be faced with a skeptical Supreme Court for everything they wanted to do, right? And everything would get decided. So the threat isn't a very upsetting thing that the prospect for environmental and climate legislation in particular, but also for all kinds of other, I mean, this is environmental concerns are not the only people that are now under threat, right? But I guess, I mean, the other things that really make this sting is the idea that Merrick Garland's seat was denied him because it was in an election year. And now the incredibly hypocritical Mitch McConnell is going to turn around and rush through a Supreme Court seat ahead of what we hope is the blue wave in November, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just power politics, and Mitch McConnell doesn't give a hoot. You shouldn't believe anything that comes out of his mouth, because it's not really true. It's only how he wins in the moment, right? And the other thing is that the whole idea that Trump, who was appointed himself by Putin and stole the election, now gets to put two Supreme Court justices in that will be there, as I say, for 30 years. I mean, wow.
I think I'm trying to remember the person who made the point that if you think about it, the only judge, of the right-wing majority on the court, the only judge that has any legitimacy in terms of being on the court, and this is a stretch in terms of the controversy surrounding his confirmation, but because he was appointed by somebody who was actually elected and didn't sort of hornswoggle their way onto the court, was Thomas by virtue of George H.W. Bush's 1988 election. You could argue appropriately that the that the Senate should have voted him down in 1991, but he was appointed by somebody who actually won an election.
Won the popular vote, well, won the, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's really, that then brings up all kinds of questions about, you know, tactics. What can the Senate do? What can the Democrats do? And from my reading, that's kind of all tied up now with the question about the Sandra Huckabee Schmuckabee at the restaurant where she got turned, and how the right wing, after talking about grabbing female parts and whatnot, are all of a sudden concerned about civility, right? Mm-hmm. And the Democrats feeling obliged to play by the rules while Mitch McConnell breaks every rule he can, and so they can be cutthroat, and the Democrats have to play nice, or else the Republicans will accuse them of being uncivil.
And also the whole controversy about whether or not the various Republican senators who denounced Trump and tut-tut Trump but have previously voted with him are going to, as many of them did with Gorsuch, once again vote to confirm the new Kennedy replacement, despite their, you know, rending of sheets and weeping and gnashing of teeth over Trump's behavior.
Yet they
still affirm his judges.
What's Jeff Flake going to do? Right?
Yeah.
You're right. He'll flake out. And Bob Corker, they're appalled. But yeah, they'll vote for the most vicious kind of politics on the Supreme Court. I mean, I saw somewhere, I think it was on Vox, again, raising the question of, you know, why aren't Supreme Court justices term limited, right? It's so capricious when people die or decide to retire, and then the stakes are so high, they're on the court for the rest of their life. It's a crazy way to run a railroad to have this. But, I guess one of the things that I wanted to talk through, because of the jackhammer of bad news that keeps coming through. It's really, you can get down about it. You can get confused. Sometimes you wonder what about the babies in cages with space blankets, right? They're off the pages now, right? What happened to them, right? Because we're all worried about Anthony Kennedy. I guess what I was trying to figure out was the meaning of the moment, right? All of this stuff is noise, but it's kind of a music, right, that we need to sort of listen to. And it seems to me that at least in my conception, and I don't know if other people, in my conception, being an American is a choice of allegiance to a set of principles. That if you believe in due process, if you believe in the rule of law, if you believe in the common good, if you believe these things, you're an American, whether you just walked over the border with a baby or not, right? Mm-hmm. It allegiance to the principles defines being an American. That's very different, I think, from the view of a lot of people who see being American as, you know, the German 1930 German word, blood and soil, right? Mm-hmm. That America is a white nation, and we must keep it white, and we belong, you know, as abominable as that is, right? These are in my conception, America is a welcoming place where you agree commitment to idealistic principles, and we have to keep that. I think that what's going on right now, this time, is essentially a direct challenge to that notion of America. Right? I mean, that's what's going on. I mean, Trump doesn't know it. Trump's too stupid to know it, and the rest of them won't put it into words. Mitch McConnell wouldn't say that. But basically, this is a movement to crush that American idea. And, you know, everyone keeps talking about, I'm sure Rush Limbaugh has talked about the threat to America for the last 30 years, you know, in histrionic terms. So it's hard to say that there's this threat to the American way of life. But I think that, based on what I'm seeing, this is a threat, and it's time to do a gut check and figure out what it is we're going to do about it. Right? Mm-hmm. I think that so here's my advice to people, and this is what I guess I'm trying to practice myself. Number one is to recognize and accept your sorrow and distress. Right? If you're not grieving for the terrible things that are going on, if you're not feeling bad, if you're not worried about it, or if you are worried about it and sort of thinking about it all the time, that's normal. That means you're healthy, right? I mean, that's a good thing, right? Second thing I would say is we can't get distracted by the crazy BS that Trump and these people keep throwing up, right? He keeps putting, you know, he's going to start talking about Jimmy Fallon, you know, being a low ratings guy for messing up his hair. I mean, some crazy thing. His tweets don't matter, right? That's just noise, intentional distraction. I think that we have to recognize that there are profound moral issues being challenged by these people. I mean, the idea that we would build concentration camps for children on Pendleton Air Force Base out in California is an affront to us, right? And so exactly the details and how are we going to solve it, I don't care. That's not the point. The point is it cannot be allowed to happen, right? I think another thing is that people from all walks of life who feel distress need to recognize there are kindred spirits. I mean, there's the Black Lives Matter, there's the immigrants, there's the Me Too movement, there's the pipeline people, there's pro-choice people, there's the LGBTQ. I mean, there's all these people. They're not. We're all in the same boat. We need to look to each other and support each other, right? Because this is the time. This, because man, if they're going after them now, they're going to come after you next, right? If Trump can deny due process to somebody on the border, he can deny it to you or me, because that's what deny, right? How can you? There's no recourse if you don't have due process. So I would say then the other thing is that you need, if you get through all that, you sort of working your way through that, you want to pick your favorite fight, right? You want to pick what it is that you can work on, your small part, and work on. It doesn't have to be everything, but work on something. And I think that there are, I mean, right now, we should all take some joy, happiness in the woman. What was the woman down in the Bronx that won? That came
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I mean, she came out of nowhere and knocked that guy's socks off. I mean, I guess Crowley is good enough, right? He was just a long timer and wasn't talking the right language. And she, my understanding, is pretty much of a climate hawk. I mean, Bill McKibben's tweeting out her plan, right?
Yep, indeed.
But I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say that she's for moving the country to 100% to renewable energy by 2035.
Well, there you go. I mean, and this is the kind of thing that we need to support and talk about openly, right? And she had many other progressive positions, right? So good on her. But I mean, here's your chance now between now and November. Help a candidate. But if you can't do the candidate, do something. Find something that makes you feel better, because taking action like that is the antidote to despair. I mean, you can look around and say that everything's horrible. You know, Trump is Trump. But by doing something, you make yourself feel better. And I think that there's, you should know here in Massachusetts, there is what's on my radar screen. I don't know what's on yours, but there's the automatic voter registration bill that is in front of the Senate. Right. So call your senator and tell them you want automatic voter registration, get more people voting. There is the Safe Communities Act, which is intended to create Massachusetts as, I guess, a sanctuary state, right? To decouple local law enforcement from the ICE people, right? We need to have that. So call your state rep if you. I mean, and then of course the thing we talked about, the energy bill that's in front of, that's just passed the Senate, is now heading to the House. Call up and talk about that. And then the other thing, dear, I'll let you say the punchline, but there will be a protest march in different places, different cities across the country on the 30th, June 30th, this coming Saturday, about immigration. That's a great thing to go out and get your yayas out marching and yelling, right? And so you should go out and march on June 30th at a town convenient to you. But, DR, tell me, what is the second part of that statement?
You got to vote on November the 6th.
You have to vote on November the 6th.
Families aren't gonna belong together unless you vote to make it so.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, these protests on June 30th is great. Send a message to these lily livers down in Washington. But the real action is going to be on November 6th. Pick your favorite green candidate and get out there and vote, right, Dion?
Exactly.
All right, Injustice Kennedy. I don't know. We'll have to come back to. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing in the Senate plays out. But it's a moral issue. That's what drives us, and that's why the outrage is there. And we have to, you know, let the politicians figure out the details. It just has to be satisfactory to your and my moral sensibilities, right?
Like a Johnny Rotten said from the Sex Pistols years ago, anger is an energy.
That's right. Okay. All right, so, DR, we'll have to put it down there. We'll put up links to some of the stuff we talked about at the blog. Of course, it's massclimateaction.org/blog. You can catch the links there. You can find the blog and the podcast on our Facebook page. It's /massclimateaction. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts by searching for Massachusetts Climate Action. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies and immoral policies and just stupid policies of the current administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Thanks, my friends, for listening. Be outraged and take action. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Very cool.